All right, so it's great to see you all this morning. And bus driver Dave, thank God for you. And good to see all of you. So we have this page again, which we have used before. We'll try, will Jesus find us watching, which is the one on the right, 148 on the page. First note?
Yep.
Thank you.
Where do you get these hymns?
Oh, the hymn book.
Do we have an American
book? No.
No, it's
one of an older hymn book. Well, not it's not really. Because I have a new hymn book, actually, that has those songs in it, too. But it's just a... Yeah. Probably, if you want to. If you want to keep it, I'll do that one next week. Sure. Well, yeah, as long as someone else doesn't take it out on you, you'll be all set. All right. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Jude, if you would please. Look at a couple of things here. We're going to begin at verse 5. He's talking about false teachers. Certain men, which could have been men or women, crept in unawares and to do evil things to the church of God. So let's pray as we begin then this morning. Father in heaven, thank you for each one who's put forward the effort to be here in your house this morning and to be gathered in your name, and we pray, Father, for your working in our hearts and lives. Pray that we might have open hearts, not be like the Jews. You said their ears were dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. And I pray, Father, that you might help us to be open to the things of God that are in the Word of God, and teach us, Lord, and make it a blessing to all of us to be here. It might take something that might help us and direct in our hearts and lives. We might be more like the Lord Jesus. Please have your hand on this time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're going to begin with verse 5, where he says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under judgment, under the judgment of the great day. Now, good morning. Good to see you this morning.
Good morning.
Now, this passage is very similar to 1 and 2 Peter, the pastor's been dealing with on Sunday night. So some people... Some quote-unquote Bible scholars, so I don't know what I think of people who are Bible scholars necessarily anymore, but some of them will say, well, either Peter copied from Jude or Jude copied from Peter. Well, have you no faith in the inspired Word of God to say things like that? I got to wonder where people get off at saying foolish things. Just because... some verses in one part of the Bible are very similar to verses in another part. Oh, they must have copied. Well, no, there's one author of the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and it's God-breathed. Every part of it is what God gave. And so, no, I don't think anybody copied from somebody else. I believe that God gave to Jude these verses, and he wrote them down, and there they are. And that God gave to Peter the verses that are there, and he wrote them down. And I care very little for the opinion of men. I believe the Word of God, and sometimes when you read commentaries, it's like every excuse not to believe the Word of God. And that, as you can tell, that makes me a wee bit annoyed. So anyway, let's look at what he's saying. What is he saying about false teachers? So, verse 5, the Bible says that there went up out of Egypt a mixed multitude. What does that mean? Well, it means that there was some there who were walking in faith and seeing God deliver them, and others just went with them. They had no faith in God. They didn't even maybe ever before this time have any worship of the Lord God. They went with him. They saw the miracles and perhaps were afraid to stay in Egypt any longer. And so they went with him. There's all kinds of people that went up out of Egypt. Now look what it says here. I will therefore put you in remembrance. So he wants to do this. How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And if you're taking notes, there's two passages that you can look at in that regard, which is Hebrews 3. Well, we better look there. Hebrews 3, verse 16. There's numerous times in the Bible and then in the New Testament that we are warned by the things that happened in the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 3. Let me just look at this quickly. Hebrews 3 and verses 16 to 19. And for some, when they heard, verse 15, while it is said, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. And that applies to, any time we hear the word of God, be careful you don't harden your heart against what God is saying. And say, well, let's tune this out, or let's not listen to what the Bible says. For some, when they heard, and it's talking about, those that came up out of Egypt, did provoke, howbeit not all that came up out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved? Who was with God grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, to whom he sware that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So that we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. And it's talking about Kadesh Barnea, and when their refusal to believe God and enter into the promised land, and so God brought a judgment upon those that believed not. And you can also look at a list of different things in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 5 to 12. There's all the sorts of things we should learn not to lust, we should learn not to commit adultery, we should learn to be satisfied with the provision of God. All the things that we are taught there, that God brought a judgment at some point on the people that came up out of Egypt. Now, what's the point? Why is he saying this? The people that came up out of Egypt, that even though they were saved in Egypt, their firstborn didn't die. They put the blood like everybody else was doing, but he afterward destroyed them that believed not. What is he saying? Well, he's saying that you can never be safe just hiding among the people of God. You can't be safe just because you go to a church where there's good Bible preaching, unless you yourself have turned to the Lord and been saved. You're not safe just being with. There's no benefit just being with the people of God, because there's coming a day when the Lord will separate the sheep from the goats. He'll separate those that were saved from those who were not saved. And so the false teachers were in the church, but the judgment of God was going to come on them anyway, because they're not saved and not part of God's people, so not belonging to him. And then the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. What's he saying about the angels? Well, the angels obviously have... they're greater in power than we are. They're able to be on the earth or in heaven. They're able to move about like a strike of lightning, the Bible says. With a flash of lightning, they went and came again. All of this, but when angels sinned, it didn't matter that they are promoted above us, that they had more power and more privileges than we have. When they sinned, they were cast down to hell. And never think that, because of who you are, or what you think your privileges are before God, or you may think you're more important than everyone else. And if we think that, that's already a problem. But the false teachers, it didn't matter that they thought they were in charge of everything and that they were maybe up in front of people or whatever it was. They were not going to be safe from that, just as God judged angels. If God judged angels, then we better fear, because he can judge us if he would certainly judge them. Well, in these two verses, verse 5, special protection of God in the past, like when they were all protected from the judgments in Egypt and from the death angel, and they all went through the Red Sea, where the Egyptians trying to do the same thing, they essayed to do the same thing, and they were all destroyed. They're all drowned in there. Even folks who've had miracles in their lives, that does not protect us or deliver us from God's judgment if we don't belong to him, if we're not saved by him and we're not serving him. And so God is always bases his actions towards us on our saving faith in him. Are we one of his own? And all the lost shall be turned into hell, and all the saved are going to be taken to heaven. God makes a distinction. And then in verse 6, with the angels, God makes a distinction. Now, fallen angels. As we study the Bible, there's no contradictions in the Bible. There's only problems with our understanding of it. If we feel that something is contradicting, it's just that we don't understand something, or there's an explanation that we have not seen. I was talking with the pastor about this, and I was talking to several others. I was talking to Susan's husband about this passage and this business of angels. And I believe, after studying the Word of God concerning angels, that there are actually two falls of angels, not one. You say, where do you get that? Well, I will show you where I get that. Thank you for asking. I believe that because there are listed in the Bible two distinct groups of angels that are fallen, and they are not the same. First one is in 2 Peter 2, where the pastor's been dealing. So if you've been here on Sunday night, you probably already looked at this, but we'll look at it together. 2 Peter 2, 4, where it says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved under judgment," and then he'll go on to talk about the judgment of other things. Now, look carefully at the verse. Let's look at what it says. 2 Peter 2, 4. "If God spared not the angels that sinned." All right? So there's a sin involved here. It doesn't say in this verse what the sin is, but there was a sin of these angels. And then it says, "But he cast them down to hell." So that's where he put them. "And he delivered them in the chains of darkness to be reserved until the judgment." So from the time that they sinned until now, and stretching on to whenever the white throne judgment is, because it would seem at the white throne judgment, because it's talked about the judgment of that great day, that it would seem that the great white throne judgment will also be a judgment for angels as well as men. All that are lost. And so, the angels sinned, and they were cast down to hell. They were put in chains. They've been there ever since. They've never been out roaming the earth. They've never been out doing anything else. They're there until the judgment of that day. There is nothing in this verse or any other verse that refers to this particular event that would tell you that only some of them were put into chains. And here is one of the key things. It seems quite clearly that those that did this sin, whatever sin this is, they all were put into hell. They were all put into chains, And they are all reserved until the judgment of the next of the that's coming in the future of that great day. Now, if you look at the book of Jude, let's look what it says here in Jude, verse 6. Talking about the same event. There are only two verses in the Bible that talk about this event. That verse that we looked at in 2 Peter and this verse here. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now here we're told what their sin was. Here it said their sin was that they left their first estate. Their first estate is a reference to their first assignment that God gave them. God gave them assignment. Now, they didn't like their first estate or their first assignment, or their can also refer to rank, which would bring the idea that they thought that they were too good for the job God gave them to do. That it was too low for them. Now, one of the things that we know of is that angels are ministering spirits, the Bible says, sent forth to minister to them that shall be the heirs of salvation. So, sent forth perhaps to minister to those who will be saved at some point, and to us who are saved, because our salvation is not yet complete until we are in heaven and everything is finished. We are completely sanctified and we sin no more and all of that. So that still refers to us as well. So it seemed that though these angels, we don't know what they did, but it seems that it's saying that they didn't like the job God gave them to do. And so they left it. They left their first estate, the Bible says. They left whatever that was that God gave them to do. And the second thing about them this said, but they left their own habitation. Now, habitation just means dwelling. They left their dwelling. It's implied that they thought that wasn't good enough either. And so, wherever their dwelling was. Now, usually we think of the dwelling of angels as in heaven. But we just assume that in this passage because we don't know. So, we're not going to go too far into what we don't know. But they left where they were supposed to stay. So they left what they were supposed to be doing, and they left where they were supposed to stay, according to this passage. And it sounds like a refusal to do their duty, that they were somehow dissatisfied. And others will say things like they perhaps took somebody else's place to live. I don't know if I can really say that in regards to the text, but it does appear that they didn't want to serve as the Lord gave them a position to serve in. And at this rebellion, they were all sent to hell, and they were all put in chains and reserved in darkness and under chains of darkness. And so there's this group. Now, this group is very unique from the other group. There's two groups of angels specified. This one is called only the angels that sinned. The other group is called the devil and his angels. We see that a number of times. And the other group is quite different. Their sin is different. The other group of angels are the angels that followed the devil in his rebellion against God, and when his rebellion was to try to be like God. He wanted to be like God or actually be God, as it would appear in the scriptures. I want to look at that first in Isaiah. Isaiah 46, though, to begin with, kind of set this stage as what God has to say. Isaiah 46, and verse 9, where it says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Now, this is an important statement. God says, there's none like me. There never will be any like him Oh, yes, I know. We'll bear a likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're never going to be anywhere like we would say equal with the Lord. We are not going to be equal with the Lord. There's none like him. And that's established as that is a big no for anybody to try to think that they are going to be like the Lord. Then if you go to chapter 14, Isaiah 14, Isaiah 14 and verse 13, it says, talks about Lucifer in verse 12, how he has fallen. And here's how he fell. Verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Watch, I will be like the Most High. Oh, no, that's never going to happen. We see his sin is sin of pride and choosing to be something that God forbid anyone to be. And so here he is at his fall. This is obviously very, very early. And now let's look at the book of Revelation and look at the other end. This is one of the beginning, really, of the judgment against the devil in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12, if you look at verse 7, right at the beginning of the tribulation, these events are happening as it's given here. Revelation 12 and verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. Interesting, you know, how it's put here, Michael and his angels. Now, Michael's the archangel, called the archangel, and the word archangel means that there was only one of those. He's the one in charge. Michael is seen here fighting against the dragon, which is the devil, in verse 9. And so, Michael and his angels, but it's interesting how the characterization of the devil is, in the scriptures, the devil and his angels. And those that followed him. And so here they are fighting. And in verse 8 it says that the dragon, and he prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now that's important to notice, because it would seem that not only has the devil access to heaven now, and ever since he fell, the devil has had access to heaven. In the book of Job, he came among the servants of God, which were the other angels, the good angels, and talk to the Lord about Job. And it would seem that the fallen angels also may have still access to heaven, because it says neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Not just him, but the devil and his angels were not found a place anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So they're cast out, and they will, from this period, which is the beginning of the tribulation, they will not have access anymore to heaven. They're cast out. And verse 10, interesting, says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now you might look at that and you might say, there's no day and night in heaven. And so, you know, what is it? Well, it just means continually. Continually, the devil is in heaven accusing us who are on the earth, accusing the brethren as they look at it, those people in heaven. And then, you know, lots of other things in this passage that we can look at, but that's all that pertains to the devil and his angels who are cast out. Now, going back to the devil and his angels and their sin, look at the Gospel of John with me, John 8 and verse 44, where the Lord has some things to say about the devil. John 8 and verse 44. where he says to these people, he says, you are of your father the devil. It doesn't mean that they descended from the devil, but their actions were falling in line with exactly what the devil wanted them to do. They were doing the devil's work. And so as they had such a likeness to the devil, the Lord calls them, calls the devil their father. And the lusts of your father you will do. This statement, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's the father of lies. In other words, nobody started lying until the devil was lying. He's the first one to start that. And also this statement, he was a murderer from the beginning. Another statement about the devil that we have no understanding of. When did the devil ever murder anybody? Well, some people say, he was working through Cain, and so because Cain murdered his brother, that was really the devil. No, there's no statement ever in the Bible saying that the devil did that. Cain is responsible for that. There's nowhere ever mentioned in the Bible where the devil murdered someone. And this says that it was back in the beginning that he did some murder. Now, I don't know if it's possible for an angel to be murdered or to actually end the life of an angel. I personally don't think so. So I don't know, and no one else can answer what this is a reference to. Everybody has some speculation, but there's lying and there's murder that is associated with him. And I think that the lying has to do with how he got so many other angels to follow him. I believe he deceived them as well and got them to follow him in his rebellion against God. I really can't prove that either, but just that he was a liar from the beginning. So way back there, he was lying about something. And then in the book of 1 John chapter 3, 1 John 3 and verse 8, where it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil, which is what? Sins. And that we might not sin anymore, that we might live to glorify God and serve him. Then if you go to Matthew chapter 8, and I just have to go quickly here, I'm just going to notice a couple of things about the devil and about about the fallen angels that are mentioned with him. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8 and verse 28. And there you have myself. Matthew 8 and verse 28. And when he was come into the other side, come to the other side, I'm sorry, the other side of the lake, into the country of Gergenes, I think that's have the self-pronouncing Bible with me. There met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. So these are people possessed with devils. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Now notice this statement. Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? In other words, they're not being tormented now. Some people try to put these two groups of the fallen angels together and say, well, the ones that are loose on earth are still being tormented. No, they're not. They're not being tormented. And it says so here, their own word. They know that torment is coming. They know their day of judgment. It's coming. And their fear is that the Lord has come to move that torment up and to start with them already. And so they ask, are you come to torment us before the time? And also in Mark chapter 5, I believe the same, looking at the same thing in three different Gospels. Mark 5 and verse 7. Mark 5, verse 7. And they cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto them, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Out of the country. Now that's an interesting statement. They didn't want to go out of the country. They wanted to stay in Israel. And that's all that the word country really can be a reference to, as it's used here. He sends them into the swine, 2,000 of them. It's hard for me, being a hog farmer, to read this. 2,000 of them jump over the cliff and they go down in the water and they perish. And one thing pigs can't do very well is swim. And so they perish in the water. And then if you would look at Luke 8, it's Luke chapter 8 is a companion to all of these things. Luke 8 and verse 27. And when he went forth to land, there met him of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. Luke 8 and verse 28. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Interesting how in each account, as this man with the demons, the devils in him, met the Lord, the fear of torment was their key thing. In other words, what they know when they meet the Lord, what's going to happen. They're going to go into the fire. They know that. Just jump down to verse 30. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. To go out into the deep. Now, into the deep, in the Greek, it can only mean one thing. It means hell. That they are asking that they are not going to be put in hell. And so, I just want you to see that these angels were free. That these fallen angels were free on the earth. The fallen angels wanted to stay in the country. The fallen angels did not want to go into hell. And they did not want to be tormented. We see that. They're not in chains. They're not suffering. And then to Matthew 25, one other reference about the devil and his angels. And we'll be done. We'll look at what we've seen. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Matthew 25, verse 41. And then shall he say unto them on the left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So that's what hell is. Hell is a place prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, as we go back to the book of Jude, and where we will probably stay. Jude talks about, in verse 6, angels which kept not their first estate, that he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Now I believe there are two distinct groups of angels, because the verses here that refer to these that sinned and were reserved in chains are not in any way compatible with the verses that talk about the devil and his angels. There are two groups of angels being spoken of, two different groups, clearly. They are distinct. They cannot be the same group. They have two different names. These are called in both passages just the angels that sinned. And The others are, when they're together, are often referred to as the devil and his angels. They have two different sins that are mentioned being committed. At no time does the Bible mention that the devil and his angels, that he specifically didn't keep the job that God gave him to do and refused to do it. Some people would say, well, there's a little bit of overlap when it talks about their own habitation. You know, he wanted to put his throne up as high as the throne of God. And so that could be a reference to that. But except the problem with that is that's what the devil wanted to do, but there's never any indication that he was taking all of his angels up there with him. And as a matter of fact, I think he was wanting to rule over them and wanting to be in charge like God. And so they're just very, very different, the statements that are made. And so I would say there were two different times that angels sinned. And hell was made for the devil and his angels. That's what it was made for. And yet, interestingly, who's there? The other group of angels is already there in chains, according to the scriptures. They're already committed there. And so they left their first estate, and now they are there and in that particular judgment. And so, well, I'll just throw that out for whatever you want to think about it. If you don't have that same view as mine, that's fine. But I do wish you to see that this group of angels cannot be the other group. There are two distinct groups, and apparently two different sins. Now, back to what Jude was really communicating here, was the judgment that came on those angels. And how they were left in hell to suffer as a warning to false teachers that God's going to bring a similar judgment on them as well. And then in verse 7 of Jude, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner. Now, there were five cities. There's Sodom and Gomorrah that we know well of. Mentioned also in the scriptures are the cities of Admah and Zeboam. And then there's the fifth city, of course, is the city of Zoar, where Lot fled to, and God spared that city. So of all the cities on the plain, instead of them all being destroyed as God originally planned, because of Lot and his assistance that he would not flee to the mountains, God spared that one city for their sake, and all the other cities of the plain, they were all destroyed. And so Jude brings out that it wasn't just Sodom and Gomorrah. There was also Admah and Zeboam that were destroyed, but they all were involved in the immorality of sodomy and all kinds of evil and sinful sexual actions. And so that's what the word fornication there is a reference to. It covers all kinds of that kind of sin, every kind of it. And they had given themselves over, the Bible says, to fornication and going after strange flesh, which is put in the book of Romans chapter 1 as men with men working that which is unseemly. And they are set forth for an example. They serve as a warning and a punishment to all. Now, nobody's taking heed to that warning today. It seems as though, you know, every ad on TV practically has to have some sodomites in it. Almost every TV show you watch, they all got to have sodomites in it. They put on something that characterizes a different day and age. Pioneer times, but now they have to put sodomites in there, which there certainly weren't. But anyway, it has to be in everything. Now all that sin has to be glorified, just constantly in the news. They have to mention it every night. It seems they have to mention something about that, and all of that. But they should look in the book. Because it's not safe to live that kind of life that they're living. Tremendous destruction was brought on on Sodom and Gomorrah, and watch what it was. It says, they're set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The word suffering means suffering to this very day, the vengeance of eternal fire. What does that mean? Well, it's a reference to the fact that they went down into eternal fire, into the flames of hell. Not just the flames that destroyed the city, so that none of those cities could ever be rebuilt again, but the flames that carried on with them as they went down into hell and are there suffering. They are set forth a warning to all because they suffer the vengeance, which is another word for punishment, of eternal fire. And to this day are still suffering that. A warning to all not to live that lifestyle. And so it's interesting that is stated here because it would make one wonder if the false teachers were following that kind of lifestyle. They're in the church and following that kind of an evil lifestyle. And I would like to go further, but I'm afraid I've run out of time, and so I don't want to start. But we will look at verse 8, Lord willing, next week, and look at some other things that the Lord has to say about these false teachers, because similar to the book of 2 Peter, there's a long list there. There's also a long list here of judgments that are coming on those who try to deceive God's people. And just in case you thought, because I brought up a point of view that maybe you have not thought of before about the angels, that I was a false teacher, I bring that up to show you the scriptures. You do what you like with it. And hopefully profit from the word of God in all of our lives. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. We pray you'll make it a blessing and an instrument of change in our lives. That even us who seek to live godly lives would take warning. That nobody can fool around with sin and get away with it. And we see your judgment here in the word of God. We pray you'll help us, Lord, to be very, very careful that none of us warm up to the idea of some sin, but that we are frightened by all sin to stay away from it, to walk in holiness. We pray you would encourage us in that line of thinking to do what is right and follow you. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your attention. The Lord bless you.